Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help find you a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to The Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Wednesdays, is my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning. Al, we got some news trickling in. We're getting closer to training camp. And with that comes some news trickle. Let's start with our first news item. It's John Wall. And everything about this feels like an SNL bit to me. Like, I'm trying to, like, figure it out, like, logically.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, the obvious part of it would be that they're headed towards a buyout, and yet none of the articles, you know, coming from these sources are talking about a buyout. Mm-hmm. They're talking about trying to find him a new home or whatever. Yeah. And going to move on from him. And it's very strange because there's only one team that could really do it. And there's no real reason for Houston to give that team what they would need to do to make it happen. Yeah. I mean, I know Thunder fans love to talk about, oh, Houston should just unprotect their picks. And that'd be great. And we would love that. But why would Houston ever do that? For John Wall, yeah. Just to get him off the team? Who cares? Just buy him out. I mean, what are they doing over these next 2 years?
Yeah, I would agree. I just don't know. I just don't see it. I mean, you look across the league, his contract is clearly the worst. It's the worst one. If you try to find one that's worse, and if maybe you're successful, let me know. Let me know what you find. But I can't imagine even what the circumstances would be for a team to take it. And, I mean, I guess we can jump to this Mitch Lawrence tweet. Mitch_Lawrence tweeted this. The Rockets have been fielding offers
for
John Wall.
Their phones ringing off the hook.
Including from the Clippers, Heat, and Pistons, which is a really confusing list. Per sources, after taking a major PR hit for the James Harden trade, the Rockets aren't rushing into a deal. Oh my gosh. I can just barely finish this. One Houston exec, we have to win this trade. Like that?
That's so bizarre because even, like, I get that he has a big contract, but, like, ultimately this trade really means nothing for the future of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like one of those trades that you make just to, you know, open up a roster spot, essentially.
Yeah.
And the idea that Houston would be like, we have to win this John Wall trade.
Bro.
And if you're going to make up, because this is clearly made up, and the reason I know it's made up is because the Heat were included, and there is no possible way that that is true after they do everything they do to get Kyle Lowry. They would literally have to trade one of Kyle Lowry, Bam, or Jimmy Butler just to make the money work.
Right. That's the thing, is that making the money work for a trade is impossible unless it's the Thunder.
Yeah, unless it's the Thunder. Yeah, throwing the Clippers in there, like, come on. Like the Pistons is the only one that's, like, semi-believable, and even that one doesn't make any sense, but at least there you could be like, okay, maybe they could, you know, find the space, and they've brought in veterans in the past. That seems weird, but okay, maybe. But Clippers and Heat is just such a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
It's just throwing out teams.
There's just no way. Maybe Kawhi Leonard actually doesn't have legs anymore. And they're like, hey, perhaps we could trade you Kawhi Leonard. Like, that's the only way, right? Where they're like, yeah, Kawhi Leonard is out. His kneecap is gone. We've lost it. Okay.
I'll be honest, Andrew. This has really made me question Mitch Lawrence's credibility. This whole saga. I don't know if I can rely on him for NBA news and information anymore.
But what if let's say what he's saying is true.
How could it be?
Then
per sources, he's on like trademba.com looking at recent trade ideas.
Then I would be a little bit more worried about the Rockets front office. That's all.
Yeah, I think Mitch was making this up. Very weird thing to make. I mean, okay, he probably wasn't making it up. Somebody probably said something close to this to him, because why would you just randomly decide to jump in? It's not even like a big story.
Well, and like, what exactly is a Houston exec?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Tillman Fertitta's son.
I mean, it could be anybody, right?
Could be anybody.
So I don't know. I believe that someone within the Houston organization said that to him. I believe that. But if they actually pull off this trade, because I mean, look at the Thunder couldn't pull off a Kemba Walker trade.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been like a possible trade partner, just in terms of matching contracts with the Kemba contract.
Yeah, it seemed very possible, and they couldn't do that. So how in the world are they going to trade the biggest contract?
Now, big picture, I do think this is ultimately a good story for Houston, just the fact that he's not going to be playing. I mean, that's what they should be doing.
Without a doubt.
Frankly, it's what they should have done last year, although I kind of get the idea, like, well, let's see what he's got, and maybe we can build up his value or something. Mm-hmm. But I think it was pretty clear, the fact that he missed, like, a decent chunk of the season. He was fine when he was in, but it wasn't like somebody all of a sudden was like, oh, I want to take on that $91 million contract.
Right.
So I think it's good for them, ultimately, to just start with that backcourt, KPJ and Jalen Green. That's what they should be doing. They're probably going to be terrible. They own their pick.
They're definitely so going to be terrible. Yeah.
It's they're set up well. They really are.
Yeah.
And I swear, if they get a higher pick than OKC again, and they come into next season just stacked, I will be
it's very
so
possible.
Furious.
It's very possible.
Very possible.
We also
they're
going to
fall like ass backwards into like the old Thunder core.
No, they don't have anybody even close to one of the three old Thunder guys.
I don't know. Jalen Green, he's something.
He's something. But if you're talking about him becoming a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
They love putting people in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
They do. You think SGA's already got the resume for a Basketball Hall of Fame?
For the Basketball Hall of Fame, yeah. Literally, when people have Hall of Fame conversations, it's like, just say yes, because they're going to get whoever it is you're talking about into it.
Yeah.
They put everyone in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't matter anymore.
Aaron Gordon signed an extension with the Nuggets.
He did.
What a
nice little payday.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that deal for Aaron Gordon?
I mean, it's one of those trades where however you felt about the trade initially should be how you feel about the new contract signing.
Yeah.
Because if you liked it back then, they had to keep him. Because yeah. they traded away RJ Hampton. You know, they took on that money, and if they got rid of him, it's not like they would be able to fill that spot in with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, they've already got huge contracts to Jokic and Jamal Murray. They're apparently in talks with Michael Porter Jr., signing him to an extension. Once you lock down those three, you're not adding anyone else. So it has to be someone on the roster, in which case, in this case, it is Aaron Gordon. Mm-hmm. And so I think you just have to pay him. And I think he's making like $22 or $24 million a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Like you just have to do it. And yeah. For them, sometimes you say like you have to do it and there's really no evidence that it's going to work. You're just kind of hoping. At least in this case, you saw what that looked like for that brief period of time when mm-hmm. he first came over. Jamal Murray was still healthy. Like that team, like people were talking about them. Zach Lowe was talking about them as like, I would pick them as like a championship favorite if this team mm-hmm. is healthy going to the playoffs.
Yep.
So I think it's exactly what they needed to do. they've basically set their lineup in stone for the next few years.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't love that lineup, but I'm much higher on that lineup than some other people might be.
Yeah.
And they're still all very young. I think they're all like 25, 26.
I mean, it's similar to when the Thunder had like that Enes Kanter, like Reggie Jackson slot, right? Where it was like, oh my gosh, why are you paying that guy so much money? It's like, well, how else are we supposed to? Like, we have to fill that slot. And people are like, well, you just got to let Enes Kanter go. You can't. You can't just let him go because you can't replace him. Like, you have to keep that slot there because, like you said, they're about to get really, really expensive. And if they're willing to sign that deal, like, that's great news for Denver Nuggets fans.
Especially, yeah, because that's Kroenke, right? That's Stan Kroenke.
Yeah.
Who, following the Premier League now, everyone hates. He's the chairman of Arsenal.
Oh no!
And everyone hates him because he has a history of being really cheap.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
and that was the case with Denver. So the fact that he's like anteing up for this team, that's a very good sign.
Yeah,
because it's a good team.
It's very
so
good.
Now like they're locked in. I mean, for the next couple of years, like I'm going to consider them to be a contender when healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, we probably only have time for news today. One, because I don't have a lot of time on my hands, but there's just kind of a lot. I think one of the things that's really interesting is this out of bounds rule change. So
I haven't even heard of this.
You haven't. Oh, so Shams Charania tweeted yesterday that the NBA Board of Governors will vote this month to approve the coach's challenge being the lone method to review out of bounds calls with a under 2 minutes left in the game. So meaning that out of bounds plays will no longer be automatically triggered for officials.
So we won't see like a cavalcade of players doing this every single time the ball goes out.
Exactly.
For our listeners at home, I was waving my finger in the air.
His finger in the air. Yeah. I think it's so great because it made games take so long at the end. And so I think it's great that you're moving toward just better, like that's just better basketball to me. Like having to review every single call, but it, like the other side of it is like sometimes they'll be wrong and you'll have to live with that. So, but they will have the coach's challenge available to be able to call that. So, yeah, whatever.
That's fine. It's great. Yeah, this playoffs, there was a game in particular where I forget what game it was, but it was like the last 30 seconds took 30 minutes or something like that.
It was ass. It was a Suns game.
Did you say it was ass?
It was ass. Total ass. No, it was a Suns game.
And I remember reading Ethan Sherwood-Strauss did an article because when he was writing about TV ratings, he was saying there's like this double-edged sword because the TV people actually like it because people are engaged and are actually watching during that time because people are going to be watching at the end of a game.
Yeah.
So there's like this like upside down world of incentives because the league is actually incentivized to have these long drawn out endings to games because it helps them with ratings.
Huh.
And that sucks. Like obviously it's miserable to watch.
But this is probably not just a flow of the game change. It probably has something to do with money in some way. Yeah, I would guess.
I don't know. I feel like they need to do more flow of the game type changes.
I agree. That's why I like this,
which they are sort of doing with like the offensive fouls that they're now going to be calling, or the defensive fouls they're not going to be calling. But yeah, they need more of that because especially last year, I was starting to get like some baseball vibes from it, where these games are just going on forever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just am curious, like, what goes on in Secaucus, right?
Yeah. Why is it not instant?
I don't know. There seems to be lots of TVs and lots of people there.
They have all that, and it takes them like 5 minutes to come back with a call.
Yeah, it still takes forever. Don't you think that they could just make the call and be like, yeah, it's out on the Clippers. You know, it's Bulls ball. Like, let's go. And they can have, like, an earpiece, right? We have the technology.
You would think.
I don't know. I think it's absolute insanity. And, like, you could have, like, the lead referee just have an earpiece in to Secaucus, right?
It'd be great. I have a feeling those guys in Secaucus aren't doing anything, and then they get alerted, and then they have to watch it.
Because it takes 45 seconds for them to walk over, take the headphones, put the headphones on,
watch get on the monitor, tiny screen they have.
Turn the monitor. It's like, what are we doing? You don't have to do that.
It's bad. Well, at least they're thinking about it.
They're trying. They're trying something. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help find you a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to The Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
And then there was also the news that they're kind of moving forward with plans to do some type of like in-season tournament, like an in-season cup.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, Shams Charania tweeted yesterday. Lots of news yesterday. The NBA is discussing having an in-season tournament in future seasons with $1 million per player in prize money. Sources tell The Athletic. The concept was discussed on a competition committee call today. So they're just in discussion. So there's nothing saying that this is going to happen, but you have thoughts, feelings?
The only way I support this is if they're cutting regular season games, obviously. We do not need more games. We definitely do not need more games.
Yeah.
So if they're willing to cut off 10 games, go back to that 72 games schedule that we had last year, and add in this in-season tournament, which obviously probably won't include everyone, I wouldn't think. Maybe it will. Maybe I mean, a single elimination tournament in the middle of the season would be kind of fun.
Be very fun.
And you could have some buys mixed in there for the good teams.
Yeah. I would love it. I'm all about having fun, and I think tournaments are fun. So
And I also think, you know, the thing that people say they like about the NBA playoffs is that you usually feel like the best team won.
Yeah.
When everyone's healthy, you feel like the best team won because you're playing these long, drawn-out seven-game series. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to upset a team over seven games. Obviously, it happens, but it doesn't happen as much as, like, in the NFL, for instance, where in the playoffs it's just one game and you're out.
Yep.
So it would be fun because you would have those Cinderella stories that you just don't usually get in the NBA in this in-season tournament. And that would make for a very compelling TV. I mean, you could have a team like the Thunder who maybe, you know, super young team, who just maybe goes on a random run.
Yeah.
And it would be fun for those teams at the bottom. You'd have something else to, like, re-engage yourself. And it would feel important just because, like, what else are we doing? You know, like, when you're a team at the bottom and you're mostly just thinking about draft picks in the middle of the season by that point. It would be fun for us as well.
Yeah,
people at the bottom.
It could be. It may not be, though, because, like, what if they're, like, matched up against the Nets in the first round?
Oh, we got them. We got it, Andrew. We'll talk ourselves into it. That's a dream scenario. They're not going to be concerned with this Commissioner's Cup or whatever they call it.
Maybe so.
They're going to send their B team.
You could see a fun, like Luka gets hot for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, goes and wins this Commissioner's Cup or whatever they're going to call it. Like, that would be really cool. That would be really fun. Or if, like, somehow the Knicks won it, you know?
Yeah. And then they hang a banner.
They hang a banner. Everyone goes nuts. They have a parade, you know?
And it'll seem weird the first season, but I think, you know, once you're a decade in, that will have some, like people will care about it at some point.
Well, just like the play-in. Like, the play-in was really fun.
Yeah.
Like, why... I just don't. I don't understand like the real downside here. I guess the downside is that players don't care about it.
Yeah, I mean, they don't care about it, but they should care more than the regular season games. I'm just like so sick of these long. I was looking at the schedule and just we're increasing by 10 games this year compared mm-hmm. to last year. Mm-hmm. We had like two seasons in a row where it was shortened. We had like 72 and then 70.
Yeah.
It's very nice. And now we're going back to 82. I mean, imagine last season, 10 more games like that that you have to sit through. Like, I was done with like 10 games to go last year. And imagine having 20 more games at that point.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I just want less games.
Yeah. Well, I think the good thing about this current Thunder team is that there's more interesting players on the team than there were last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You're not buying that one.
I would say, I mean, like Giddy, yes. Beyond that, it's like, okay, yeah. Trey Mann, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely we'll see. Well, I don't know. I mean, like Trey Mann could be playing a lot by the end of the season.
He could be. He probably will be.
And we have to see what he is. You know, it's I mean, honestly, watching Trey will probably be more fun than having to watch Teo for like that time. Because Teo's like running the show, and it is, he's not a flashy player. He's not a guy that's going to like bring attention to anything. Like, he's just kind of is. Like, he's just a basketball guy. And it was a tough watch. Because there's like no flash to it, you know.
There's not, yeah, yeah. I'm not like all the way revved up for the season yet. I still have a few weeks to get my mind right.
I mean, kind of, like media day is a week from Monday.
Really?
Yeah.
A week from Monday. Wow. Is that going to be in person?
It as of today, I believe it will.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. I know that like pretty much everything will be limited this season. Like as far as like attendance, like people being able to be there in person. Like there's not going to be a lot of people. Like usually media day is like a zoo. You know, there's tons of people that aren't like credentialed for the season come. Like it's really fun. Like it's been a really fun day. I don't know if it's going to be like this, but I expect that they're not going to just allow everybody to come like they have. I mean, a few years ago, like there were just like random, it felt like almost like just random people were there. There's like some lady in the back asking Stephen Adams questions. I don't know if you remember that, but I was like, who are you? Like, how'd you get in here? You know, well, kind of thing.
One year they let L-Man in.
They let the L-Man in, you know, and I just expect it to be different with all, I expect there to be COVID regulations, but I do think that it will be in person, probably like all masked up, like 6 feet away at least type of stuff. But, you know, I can say that we're going to have we should, as long as things don't get like much worse and the NBA changes everything, like we should have some pretty awesome content coming from that day for you guys. So.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, as long as we're just kind of shooting the breeze.
we're shooting the breeze because I've got a meeting that's starting in just like a few minutes. So like this is going to be a short September 15th Wednesday pod. But
I was going to ask you, I had the idea if we could rank the top five stats that we'll be following from day one.
Mm.
Like the most interesting stats. So for instance,
mm-hmm.
Lou Dort's finishing at the rim. That is something that, like, from day one, I'm going to be interested in. I'm going to be tracking that all season.
Yeah.
For instance, Darius Baisley's three-point percentage. Something that from day one, I'm going to be interested in tracking. So I was wondering if there are any more like that that you are kind of like honed in on.
Stats specifically. Let's see.
Kind of like make or break stats.
Yeah, I'm just interested. I'm also like, those are definitely ones I'll be watching. I'm just interested to see what Kenrich Williams is. Like statistically.
Kenrich?
Yeah. He shot the ball so well last year.
Oh, you're wondering if it's a fluke or not.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, is that what he is now? Because he went from 25% from three to 44% from three. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like, oh, what are you? Because he shot 97 threes in the 1920 season. He shot 117 in last season.
Yeah.
So it's not like, and he shot 156, the most threes of his career, his rookie season, and only made 33%. So, like, what are you, Kenrich? Like, that's a question I have, because I do think that he could be a trade candidate. Also, Tao just did not shoot the ball well at all. And I think some of that could have to do with the load that he had to carry last year.
Right.
And he's not really like a pull-up guy. So could he be better with, you know, better ball handlers and guys around him? Like, maybe.
And this kind of goes along with that, but I'm really interested to see his assist totals per game, because there's so many more ball handlers now, especially when you bring in someone like Josh Giddey. SGA is coming back, going to be healthy. We want to see more of Point Poku.
Yeah.
Like, how quick do we see that shift in Tao's game, or are they still going to be relying on him to kind of be that table setter? Because if they're not, then yeah, like you mentioned, he's basically going to become an off-ball shooter on the offensive side, and he obviously needs to get better at that. So that would be something to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And then, like, Shea's efficiency as well. Like, he was, like, wildly efficient last season. Does that continue? Is that just, like, who he is? Or does that take a dip? You know, 57% effective field goal percentage, like, pretty good. And a big jump from his second year. So, I mean, all that stuff is really interesting. And then really, like, what I'm most interested in is just probably rotations. Like, who starts, who's coming off the bench, like, who doesn't play at all. I think those are all pretty interesting situations.
Yeah, I'd like to know how many guys are going to play more than 30 minutes per game. Like, when everyone's healthy. Because last year, it was just Shea, Baisley, and then Dort was right there at 29.7.
Yeah. Who would you put on that list now, if you were to guess?
Well, I'd imagine that all three of those guys are probably going to be at 30 minutes, or right around there. Shea, Baisley, and Dort. Baisley more because, like, who else is playing at that position? I just feel like he has a very clear path this year.
It just depends on what you think about Poku.
Yeah.
If you think you can play that spot.
Yeah. So I think there's probably room for maybe one more guy, and it would probably be Poku. But I could see both Poku and Giddey being in, like, the high 20s, mid to high 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think any other, like, Ty Jerome, is he a candidate for that at all to you?
To play that much?
Uh-huh.
Man, I just don't know with how many guards they have.
Yeah.
When everyone's healthy. I could see him being one of Tao or Ty Jerome is going to be under 20 minutes a game, I have a feeling. And I wouldn't be shocked if it's Ty.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah, I'm very intrigued, because there's going to be somebody that the fan base loves that's not going to play a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
And Josh Hall is gone. So
Josh Hall's gone, but maybe Paul Watson, but we don't know.
Maybe. I haven't heard anything about that, but honestly, if you're really clinging for something, some news like that, like, maybe take a break before the season starts. It's kind of my standpoint, because it's just not going to matter.
The last piece of news we were going to talk about is that the Blue are going to be playing at the Paycom Center.
They are. So they lost their home at the Cox Pavilion. Do we call it the Pavilion? I don't know. So now they're going to play at the Paycom Center, which is kind of cool. Like, that's kind of cool. At least for those guys, it's pretty cool that you're playing in the big arena.
Oh, and, yeah. And being able to be close to the team. I mean, I remember back in those, like, 2009, 2010 days, you know, they'd send a guy down to Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And he's just, like, not with the team. Yep. He's just kind of lost. Mm-hmm. Just see you later. And now, at least, they can still train with the Thunder. I mean, they can still do all those things. And you would imagine that there will be a lot of guys that they are kind of rotating through, because like we've talked about, once you get past like the eighth spot, like if you really want to get your prime guys minutes, there are going to be a lot of guys who are not playing this year. And so hopefully, I don't know, they've done it differently in the past. Sometimes they've preferred keeping those guys with the Thunder so they could work out with them and everything and attend NBA games. Sometimes they've preferred sending them down to the Blue. I wonder if they'll be more willing this year, just because I don't see a ton of minutes for a lot of these guys.
I think the answer is absolutely yes, is there's going to be a lot of these guys that are sent down. And there's 15 games that will be Blue Thunder doubleheaders.
Ooh.
So
wait, like back-to-back on the same day? So in the afternoon, I guess they'd play the Blue game?
Yeah.
Wow, a day of basketball.
A whole day. How many?
Bad basketball.
You going to fly in to watch?
To watch a double, to catch a doubleheader?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No.
Unless that Monday night game, by the way, I am coming home. I tweeted about it, but I'm coming back for the Down to Dunk live pod.
I need to see if maybe there's a doubleheader that night.
I don't think we need to do that.
We could all go. It'd be so fun. No, actually, I probably wouldn't. Okay, so I'm going to go the last thing before we go. I'm going to go through the roster. You tell me yes or no that they will play at least 5 minutes for the Blue.
5 minutes? Okay.
5 minutes. JRE.
I bet he does not play for the Blue.
Ooh, big JRE guy over here. Wow.
Less about that. It's more just like, who else is playing those big man minutes? I mean, if you're going to develop one person, we really have JRE.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like there's a Moses Brown. There's not a Tony Bradley to get any center minutes. So
yeah,
I think you got to keep... And it's nice for him to be up with the team and assuming talking to Derek Favors. Maybe Derek Favors is nice. We know Mike Muscala.
Can confirm. Both
Mike Derek Muscala Favors is nice.
Favors nice.
Wow.
Nice guy.
Scoop.
Yeah. Big scoop.
Yeah. So I think they'll keep him up.
Poku.
No. Get out of here.
Okay. Teo.
Mm-mm.
Not even a chance. 5 minutes. Oh wow. Not even a chance. Ty Jerome.
No.
Isaiah Roby.
No.
Really? Wow, you love these guys. This is your team. You want to take these guys into the future.
No, saying that they're not going to the G League is not a comment on their talent. I just like can't imagine the Thunder. Like, why even? I don't know. Why bother?
So I think why bother with like Roby is like Roby might be one of the odd men out.
Yeah, he could be.
Where it's just like, hey, why don't you play with the Blue so you can get some minutes?
Right.
Get some touches. Trey Mann.
Yeah, I do think Trey Mann will spend some time with the Blue.
Josh Giddey.
No.
No.
Get out of here.
I could actually see like almost all the guys I named playing for the Blue at least.
But that doesn't really fit their MO of the last few seasons. Like the guys who typically have gone to the Blue have just been the two-way guys. I mean,
But the last season that we had a normal season, they didn't have guys like this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they did send McGarry to the Blue, right? Didn't he play some
games? Yeah, they sent McGarry to the Blue. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I know Hustis obviously played a ton of time with the Blue.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, you had the G League bubble last year where Poku and Ty Jerome were there and played.
Yeah.
But they needed guys to stay. And they felt comfortable with keeping Teo here. But like, what if there's a stretch where they're like, man, we really just want to see what Trey Mann can do. And like, Teo, you're not going to play as much. Like, do you want to go play for the Blue? Like, just to like...
have something to do.
Just to play. Honestly. Right. Or like, I mean, I could see a world where like Trey Mann plays for the Blue on the doubleheader and then comes in and like plays garbage time for the Thunder, you know?
Yeah, they, yeah. Being in the same arena makes it so much more flexible because you could have a guy just play and then he could still immediately come back. Because remember back in the day, you would look at Basketball Reference and it, for a player, and it would just say like sent to the Blue, recalled from the Blue, sent from the Blue.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yes.
And it was like every single day. Now they can do that to an extreme degree because they're in the same building.
Yeah. Oh, I think they should, and I think that a lot of these guys, if they're not going to get minutes. If they're not going to get at least, like, if they're only playing 10 minutes a game, like, why not? Like, get them more experience playing ball. Like, it's just, to me, it's as long as they don't feel like it's a demotion.
And maybe it won't because, like I said, they're still, like, right there with the team, especially for the home games.
Yeah.
Now, if you're sending them on the road with the Blue, that would obviously be different.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't just, and I think that's how it will work. Just at home. Like, okay, great. We're going to, and also, honestly, like it could be like we want to get some of these guys playing together. Like maybe it is like Trey Mann, JRE, you know, a few of these guys like get called down to the Blue, and like you guys are going to go play tonight.
What if we won the G League championship?
That'd be great.
Would that excite you?
I'd be so excited. I'd be so pumped. Short show today. Got a lot of stuff going on today, so. Thanks so much for joining us. If you joined us on the stream, I'm going to read your name right now. Michael Clampett, the tall shot. Daniel Tamasi says, what's on, boys? We have Jay here. My guy Alex Bullerjack. We have Jacoby King is here. Jacoby King says, what's good, DTD Nation? Thankful for the Wednesday pod. The only good thing about Wednesdays. Wow. That's the only good thing, Al. Grape Ape is here. Miroslav is here. Jake Hendricks, Mike McGee, James Anderson. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining the pod. If you haven't joined us live before, you should subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can hit the little bell that will tell you when we go live. Then you can join us. It's fun. So I hope you guys have a great, great day. And we'll talk to you guys again on Friday. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help find you a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to The Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.